Parshas Pinchas, if you have a Chumash, it's on page 876. And Parshas Pinchas is the parsha which tells the story, at least tells the end of the story, of what happened at the end of last week's Porsha, which was the kenoyus, the zealotry of Pinchas, the zealotry that he stood up for the terrible immorality which was taking place in the camps of the camp of the Jewish people with the with the Moabite women. And he saw, I mean, it was a terrible tragedy. He saw the head of the tribe of Shimon consorting with Cosby, a Midianite, and it's a topic unto itself. I think we've spoken about it in previous years, how such a thing could have happened. And Zimri was not a lightweight. He wasn't an insignificant individual. He was the Nasi. He was the prince, the head of the tribe of Shimon. So to be involved in such a immoral act is just really, really hard to understand. But that's a topic unto itself, which we're not going to go into today. But when Pinchas saw this, terrible immorality, he took the law into his own hands. And he goes down in history as being the zealot of Hashem, of acting with zealotry for Hashem, of kanoyos, which is the Hebrew for zealotry. And he killed both of them. He killed both of them, eliminated the wrongdoing, the immorality, and he thereby thwarted any further plague against the Jewish people for the sin of immorality, which was happening on a larger scale among other Jews as well. And that was the end of the last week's parasha. And the last week's parasha is the story itself. So the name of the parasha, Pinchas, is a response. It's the reaction, Hashem's response, not reaction, response to this. And the pasuk begins by saying, "Yidabe Hashem Moshe Lemo," that Hashem said to Moshe, saying, "Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron a Kohen, heishiv es chamasi." The Pinchas ben Elazar, the son of Aaron a Kohen, heishiv es chamasi. He turned back my wrath. He turned back my wrath against the Jewish people, Mal b'nei Yisrael. From upon the Jewish people, when he zealously avenged my vengeance among them, and I did not consume the children of Israel in my vengeance. And the next pasuk, therefore say the following. Say the following to Pinchas, Emor. Therefore say the following, Hinini no saying lo, behold, I'm giving to him as Brisi Shalom. I'm going to be giving to him my covenant of peace. I'm going to read the verses first and explain it afterwards. I'm going to give to him my covenant of peace. For Hoysel lo, and they'll be to him, Ulazaro and his descendants, Achrav after him, Bris, a covenant of Kahunas Olam, of Kahuna, of the priesthood, Olam forever. Tachas Asher Kinei Lelokov, because he took the vengeance for Hashem, the Yechapro b'nei Yisrael, and brought about atonement for the Jewish people. And then it goes on to describe the names of the people who he killed in that episode. So what is the reward which he's being given over here? It's actually, when you look at the verses, it's a bit cryptic. On the surface, you know, not on the surface, the obvious reward which he's being given is he's being awarded the title of becoming a Kohen. The title of becoming a Kohen, despite the fact that his grandfather's a Kohen, right? So this is the famous joke, you know, the person comes to the rabbi, he says he wants to become a Kohen. So he says, how's the joke go? He says, I want to become a Kohen. So why do you want to become a Kohen? Because my father was a Kohen, my grandfather was a Kohen. So I want to become a Kohen as well. You know, obviously these things, Kahuna and Leviya go through the father. So why is Pinchas being awarded as being a Kohen if his grandfather's a Kohen? The answer is, simple answer, and that is because when Aaron and his sons were initially designated to become Kohanim in that time, it was only Aaron and his four sons. Now, Nadav and Avihu passed away. So it was only Aaron and his two sons, remaining sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, and then future generations after them. But any existing grandchildren or great-grandchildren who lived when that designation was applied to Aaron and his sons were not included in the designation of becoming Kohanim. So Pinchas was already born. So therefore, he never became a Kohen when his grandfather became a Kohen. Now, with this episode, he's now being rewarded with becoming a Kohen as well, and then his descendants thereafter. So that's the simple explanation of the reward which he's being given. He's being given this reward of becoming a Kohen. Now, that's Pasuk number 13. It says that explicitly. And will be to him and his descendants after him a covenant of kahunas olam, of priesthood forever. However, Pasuk 12, which says, L'chein emor, say the following, hinini no say lo, behold, I give to him as brisi shalom, my covenant of peace. What's that referring to? What is the covenant of peace? Aside from the covenant of being a Kohen. So essentially, you have two expressions in the psukim here. You have bris shalom and bris kahuna. So bris kahuna is becoming a Kohen, that's clear. What's the bris shalom? So this is a machlokas. So Rashi learns this pasuk of bris shalom, the covenant of peace, ostensibly it could be understood as the bris of kahuna, the covenant of priesthood, is a covenant of peace. In other words, that in the kahuna itself, there's peace, the shalom. That's how it could be read on the surface. Rashi says he doesn't like that. What it means, though, is this, Rashi says, it should tehe lo the bris shalom, that it should be for him, it will be for him a bris shalom, ka'adam amachzik tova v'chonus, like somebody who is essentially giving a sense of gratitude, of goodness and grace, l'misha osa ima tova, to somebody who does a favor for him. Afkan pirish lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalom mosav, here also Hashem is expressing his peace to Pinchas, for what he did by giving him the bris of kahuna. In other words, the bris of becoming a Kohen is Hashem's expression of shalom to Pinchas. So it's not that the kahuna is shalom, it has some kind of intrinsic component of peace within it. No, giving the gift of becoming a Kohen, that's Hashem's expression of shalom. That's Hashem's greeting, it's Hashem's expression of gratitude to Pinchas for what he did. So that's what the bris shalom is, right? So really, essentially, the bris which he's being given, the reward he's being given the reward of becoming a Kohen, but it's being delivered and being given to him as an expression of shalom, of gratitude, of grace and gratitude to Pinchas for having done what he did, for taking the vengeance for Hashem. So the shalom is, the shalom, the peace, is not describing the essence of the kahuna, but it's the way the kahuna, the bris of the kahuna, is being delivered to him. That's how Rashi understands it, right? The Ibn Ezra, though, and the Rabbeinu Bechaya, other commentaries, they define it differently. They say that the bris shalom over here, al derech pshat, havtichu b'bris shalom, he promised him a covenant of peace, Shalo yifchad ma'ache Zimri, that he shouldn't be afraid of the brothers of Zimri. Shalo yinkamu nekmasa, they shouldn't take vengeance and take revenge against him. So the shalom is basically a guarantee you'll be safe, right? The shalom is you'll be safe. So again, the primary gift which he's giving to him is becoming a Kohen. But on top of that, he's also being given a promise. Everything is all going to be b'shalom. Don't be afraid. I'm your guarantor. I'm going to guarantee your safety, and that's the bris shalom. That's how he explains it.
That was
the Rabbeinu Bechaya.
Uh-huh.
Right. So Ibn Ezra says the same thing as well. Okay. Right. So that's the bris shalom. Right. But primarily, it's the bris kahuna is being given, awarded or elevated to become a kohen. So that's the pasuk pshat, the simple explanation of the pasuk. But now we go to the Medrash, right? Medrash Rabbah, first Medrash on the Parsha. And the Medrash picks up on the way that Pinchas' name is mentioned in the Chumash. So the Medrash says, quoting the Pasuk, Pinchas ben Elazar, ben Aaron a Kohen. Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron a Kohen. The question is, the Medrash wants to know, is why is the Pasuk relating back many generations? Why is it keeping going back? Typically, we just say, Aaron ben Moshe, should just say Pinchas ben Elazar. It's unusual for a person's name to be identified by the yichus going back through the generations, several generations. Sometimes you have psukim like that, but it's not so usual. And here the pasuk does that. It's relating Pinchas not just to Elazar, his father, but also Aaron HaKohen as well. And then the Medrash says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said about Pinchas, Bedin Hu Sheyitl Sacharo, by rights he should take his reward. By rights he should have this reward of becoming a Kohen. The Yetz Yosef, the commentary on the side of the Medrash says, what it means to say is this, Ma'achas Sheyesh L'midas Aaron, because Pinchas displayed the trait of Aaron, who beno b'teva. So then really, it's like he's a son in nature. And as we said before, that really Pinchas, because he's only a grandson, he didn't become a Kohen initially. Had he been his son, then he would have been a Kohen from the very get-go. He would have been a Kohen from the beginning, but he wasn't. But because he mimicked the traits of Aaron, his grandfather, mm-hmm. he was like his ancestors, he was like his Zeda, he was like him, then really it was like he was his son, Beteva, his natural son. L'chein b'din hu sheyitl sachar, and therefore by rights he should take his reward, and that is the kahuna, that is the priesthood, the hashalab, and the peace which goes along with the protection of peace, which went along with it. But what was the nature that he had like his father, like his grandfather? What nature? This kanoyas, Aaron HaKohen is known for shalom, like for rodei shalom, pursuing peace. So what is the zealotry? I mean, that's what Pinchas stands out for, zealotry. So how can we say that he was like his grandfather? So commentaries write about this. They say it's referring more to his ancestors, like Levi, because he comes from Levi. And Levi was a zealot also, mm-hmm. with the whole situation, Shimon and Levi, with Dina, with the abduction of Dina. So he has this trait. He's perpetuating the zealotry of his ancestors, of his zedas and his alter zedas. He's perpetuating, and therefore bedin, therefore by rights he deserves to become a Kohen like his grandfather as well.
And that's why the pasuk goes out of his way to identify ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, the son of Aaron. The pasuk is connecting him back to Aaron because. Beteva, because he was like his natural son,
and that's the first part of the medrash. That's not, but there's the next part which I want to focus on. That's part one of the medrash, but nonetheless, it's Bris Shalom, and the medrash goes to town talking about Shalom, not Bart's here, right? Not Bart's grandson, son, sorry, but and not anyone who has the name Shalom, but the medrash zooms in on the tremendous value of Shalom. Says the Medrash, Gadol HaShalom, great is Shalom, great is Shalom. Shenasin lePinchas, that Hashem gave to Pinchas. She'ein, and we're going to go through all the different things it says about Shalom, but the Yetz Yosef commentary on the side says over here, that it's not only the fact that he was given protection. Don't just say that the only dimension of the Shalom which Pinchas is being given, It's not only, don't let it be thought to you, don't think, shurak hadara, not just the fact that he's going to be protected from any kind of, retaliation from the family of Zimri, shalayirim epnei shona, you shouldn't be afraid of any enemies in the family of Zimri, that's not the only dimension of Shalom, right? And this is very important because what it's going to reveal to us, what really is Shalom, what's the definition of Shalom, what's the definition of peace? What's the definition of peace? Is peace simply protection? Is peace simply not being contended with by enemies, by people who are antagonistic towards us? Is that the only definition of Shalom? The answer is no. We'll see, right? Because Shalom has such a broader, deeper dimension to it, more than simply the fact that someone is not going to hurt you, right? That's how we superficially look at Shalom. Don't think that's what it is. It's not only that. Gadol HaShalom, because Shalom is so great, Shenas LePinchas, that Hashem gave this to Pinchas, because the whole world is only conducted with Shalom. I'm going to go through the whole list of items over here. We'll explain it afterwards. Number one, the whole world, the whole universe is conducted with Shalom. Number two, Torah kula Shalom. The whole Torah is called Shalom, brings the pasuk. Number three, actually the pasuk you're familiar with, Darchecha Darchi Noam. It's ways of pleasantness, V'chol Nesivosecha Shalom, and all of its pathways are peace. So the whole Torah is described as Shalom. Number three, in Ba Adam in the Derech, if someone comes from a journey, what's the first thing you say to him? You say Shalom, Shalom Aleichem. So this is another example of how great peace is. You say Shalom Aleichem. Number four, Chaim B'Shachris, in the morning, Shalom, you ask a person, Shalom, how you doing? Shalom Aleichem. Number five, Be'emesh, in the evening, Koch Shalom, B'Shalom, you ask a person, how you doing? Shalom. Shalom Aleichem, everything is Shalom. Number six, Shema Yisrael, in the davening in the morning, Chosman, nothing in the evening, also, Poris Sukkah Shalom Al Amo. We seal the Shema with the brachas, with the bracha, Poreis Sukkah Shalom Al Amo, that he spreads the shelter, the canopy of peace upon the Jewish people. So Shema is completed with Shalom. Birkas Kohanim, the blessings of the priests in the davening. Chosman B'Shalom, the last bracha is Shalom as well. And I skipped one. And also Tefillah, right? What's the last bracha of Shemoneh Esrei? The last bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei is Shalom. So everything is finishing with Shalom. Everything is concluding with Shalom. But then the Nesiva Shalom, Nesiva Shalom, the famous Slama Rebbe, is called Nesiva Shalom too, right? So he lists a whole bunch, more examples. So there's a Mesechus Derech Eretz. There's a tractate called Derech Eretz. So it's a whole tractate dedicated to having Derech Eretz. It's interesting because we oftentimes think that Pirkei Avos is the tractate about Derech Eretz and decency. No, there's a tractate called Derech Eretz Zuta. And there's a whole perek. The last perek is named Perek HaShalom, the Perek of Shalom, in which every single Mishnah begins with the phrase Gadol HaShalom, Gadol HaShalom, greatest Shalom. Getting a picture over here how important Shalom is.
Right?
And it says over there in that Masechta, the name of Hashem is Shalom. You may have heard that before. The name of Mashiach is Shalom. And Yisrael, the Jewish people, are called Shalom. The Sifri, the Medrash Sifri says, Gadol HaShalom. Sheshokol kadega kol ma'isa bereishis. So great is peace, is shalom, that it's on the same par as the entirety of creation, the whole ma'isa bereishis. Another one. Shebashash om the Yisrael v'armu kol Hashem diba Hashem nasa. When they said nasa v'nishma, the Medrash says, Samach b'em HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem was so joyful over the fact they said nasa v'nishma. V'nosin lehem, he gave to them Torosso. He gave the Torah to us, as well as Birkas B'Shalom, Birkam B'Shalom, he blessed them with Shalom. So at Maimon HaSinai, Torah was given, but according to the Medrash, Torah together with Shalom. And then another one final one over here, is Vita Kodesh Baruch Al Shemo, that Hashem forgoes his name with the parish of the Sota, that if, God forbid, there's a suspicion of a woman being adulterous, at the parish of the Sota, a parchment, is taken with Hashem's name written on it and then dissolved inside water with his name being destroyed. And the Gemara says, Vita Kodesh Baruch Hu, that Hashem forgoes his own name, which is written with holiness, that it should be erased in the water, Kedei Lahatul Shalom Bein Ish Liishto, in order to create peace between husband and wife. So you've got these countless statements about Godless, the greatness of Shalom. And the question is, what's the big deal? Shalom, why not say the same thing? If MS, Godla MS, great as MS, great as Chesed, you don't find this with anything else. It's interesting. The world stands on three pillars. Torah, Avodah, Gimel, Chesed. What else? Shalom doesn't say Shalom. Mm-hmm. So there's some mysterious nature of Shalom which makes it greater and earns this title of Godla Shalom that has all these different dimensions to it. The key to answering it is a little bit based upon another statement about something we're very familiar with. These are words we utter every single day. O says shalom bimrumav, hu yaseh shalom aleinu, right? Vimromei. Now think about those words. O says shalom bimrumav. What's that mean? O says shalom bimrumav. That Hashem makes peace where?
On high.
On high. Where's on high?
Heaven.
In the heavens. He's making peace in the heavens. So if we're going to define shalom, peace, as simply the eradication and the elimination of conflict, there's no conflict in Shemayim, right? There's no Yetzirah in Shemayim. So what does that mean? He's Osa Shalom B'Merumov, that Hashem Kodesh Baruch Osa Shalom B'Malachim V'Srafim makes shalom among the angels, the Srafim. Merumov Ein Yetzirah in the heavens, there's no Yetzirah, L'Shayach, you can't have any machlokas in the Shemayim. There's no machlos, no debate, no yetzahara, no conflict going on in the Shemayim. So what does that mean? He's making peace in Shemayim. So these are all the questions, right? Why so many statements about Shalom? And also, what does it mean to have Shalom in the heavens? So the Slonim Rebbe says, he quotes over here, beautiful idea, very such a foundational idea for the Maggid of Koshnitz. The Koshnitz of Maggid. And he says that the definition of Shalom is deeper than simply the resolution of conflict. And it's based upon the recognition that the whole world, the whole universe, the entirety of a creation is created with all sorts of opposites, right? For example, what are the four foundational elements of creation? Fire, water,
wind
and earth, right? So you look at those elements. Do they coexist?
No.
Can fire and water coexist? No. Right? The wind, the fire comes along and puts out the water, puts out the fire, right? The wind, I don't know, whatever the sequence is, right? But they don't, it's hard to coexist. They're all opposites to each other. These are conflicts with each other. He says, Kol HaBriya Shebara Kadosh Baruch Hu, the entire of creation which Hashem created is full of opposites. Full of opposites. The truth, you know, we'll talk about marriage as well. I mean, that's also an example. I mean, it's the concept of marriage itself is an anomaly. It's an anomaly, the concept of a man and woman joining together to spend their lives together. Even, of course, there's many dimensions many aspects of the attraction of the opposite gender, but there are so many opposite natures between a man and a woman that it's almost like paradoxical and like not logical for a man and woman to join together. So that's a different, you know, bigger discussion. But he continues, he says, the seasons, kayetz v'choref, winter and summer, all the different opposites. The whole world is made up of different opposites. And therefore he says, koach ha-shalom, the true definition of shalom, is lo rak miyashev asistir, is not only to reconcile contradictions between different parts, but rather, this is such a beautiful idea, but it's rather to harmonize everything. It's to harmonize different things. To harmonize all of the different disparate opposites and things which don't seem to be synergetic and don't seem to fit. But the power of Shalom is that it's a special ingredient, it's a special energy which is able to harmonize all sorts of opposite and opposing forces together. Shalom doesn't just resolve and reconcile contradiction between different parts of creation. Through Shalom, kol kima bria, the whole maintenance of creation is dafka specifically mitoch hamizug, specifically through the blending and the harmonizing and the unifying of all of these different opposites. That's the power of Shalom. He says Shalom ein rak mida prot is not just it's not just an individual mida among midos, ala mida kolelis. It's a mida. It's a comprehensive mida. It's an encompassing one, which the entire creation is dependent upon. He says, and that's why in the Shemayim, right, there's peace. Why? Because there are different forces. Not that they are fighting with each other, but they're different energies. There's Gevura, there's Chesed. For example, he talks about over here the angels of Michael and Gavriel. Michael is to the right, Gavriel is to the left, but they symbolize and they embody forces of Chesed and Mercy. And Din and Gevura, they symbolize those things. So how do those things coalesce? How do they come together? The answer is they come together because of Shalom. Shalom is the energy, is the power to be able to bring these things together. We'll talk about exactly how you do that in a few minutes, right? But that's the concept of Shalom. And this explains why it's so great. This is why the emphasis on all of these statements explain why they're all because of the greatness and the necessity of Shalom in the world to be able to bring together all the opposite forces. But this is dependent. It was for the Shalom to exist in the heavens and for the Shalom to exist in the world, we have to be B'Shalom. We have to be B'Shalom. And again, it's not about simply, you know, not having a fight and not getting into arguments. What it really means, you know, what he says over here, what it really means is embracing all of the different parts of ourselves and embracing all of the different parts of our community and embracing all the different parts of the people in our lives, all the different things in our lives. It's embracing everything and finding the right place for everything, finding the right place inside of ourselves for our negative parts. I'll speak about that in more in a second. But the Medrash, which I read from, finishes off by saying, that Amr of Shimon ben Chalafta ain kli machzik bracha ala shalom. There's no better vessel for holding bracha than shalom. There's no better vessel to hold a bracha than shalom. The thing is, it's so simple, it's so beautiful. Because what is bracha? Bracha could be it could be a bracha in kindness. There could be a bracha in livelihood. There could be a bracha in truth. There can be a bracha in mercy. Anything which is positive, anything which is good. But in order to hold those things, you need a vessel. Because if you don't have a vessel to hold it, other things are going to get in the way. Other opposites and other perhaps negative things are going to get in the way of that bracha settling in. So a person, for example, as we bring it to ourselves in our own personality, right? You know, I have a bracha, let's say, of whatever bracha you have a bracha of being a bal chesed, let's use that. Hashem has endowed you with being a bal chesed. At the same time, though, you struggle with, perfectionism. You struggle with perfectionism, which now disturbs and gets in the way of appreciating the bracha of being a bal chesed. So how do you deal with that? You need that. So there's no vessel now which contains these two different parts. I don't have a vessel. So shalom is the vessel to hold both of them together. How? By finding a way, by integrating and finding a way to integrate these different parts of ourselves. Now, to give it a little bit more of a modern spin on this, right, the reason why I like this, because this reminded me of something which, so I don't want to bring too much of the secular psychology into this. This happens to be a fantastic area of psychology. It's called IFS, right? IFS, Internal Family Systems. You may have heard of this. This is actually a more recent approach in psychotherapy, actually, right, of internal family systems. And it's based upon this idea of parts that we all have. And I actually have a book. I brought a book with me because it's become such a popular intervention today. That now this is a Jewish book put out by Feldheim, right? And it's called Part and Soul, a Torah-based guide to IFS, Internal Family Systems, right? And it's really predicated on this idea that in all of us, and it's a much, much longer subject, but it's predicated upon the idea that in all of us, we all have different parts. We have conflicting parts. We have parts of ourselves which are, in the lingo of the field, there's exiles, there's an exile part of us. Sometimes there are parts of us which in childhood have been oppressed, have been abused, have been silenced. And there are parts that he describes it in the person who developed the idea, his name is Richard Schwartz, that there are parts of us sometimes which are called exiles. There are exile parts of ourselves which are running away, which are frightened, which are scared, which are riddled with anxiety. You know, I'm just doing it broadly, there are all sorts of parts to ourselves. There are perfectionist sides to ourselves. There are all sorts of pieces inside of us. But the key in our development is harmonizing all these different parts. And what they speak about is, for example, like a conductor of an orchestra. That's a very good example, a very good mashal, is a conductor of an orchestra. If you have, in an orchestra, you have all sorts of different sounds and different instruments, and some are louder, some are quieter. By themselves, you know, when you listen sometimes, you listen to the individual instruments, they don't really sound like much, especially the timpani, you know, the percussion, you know, just bangs, like chang, like these noises, which really can, you know, by themselves disturb the sound, the beauty of the music. But the whole magic of music and the magic and the greatness of the conductor is to be able to harmonize the different parts, to harmonize them all together and to find their right place and to listen to those different pieces of music or the different instruments in the right place and the right time. That's how you harmonize everything. So the neshama, the self, the seichel, the inner core self of who we are, the part of ourselves which is connected with truth, with purpose, with identity, with Hashem, that pure inner essence of who we are is the conductor of our inner orchestra. We are the conductor of our inner orchestra with all of the different sounds, with all of the different voices. You know, for example, this is why when it comes to any types of parts of us which are on the surface negative, which perhaps is the voice of gevura, the voice of din, the voice of meanness, of cruelty, all of these voices are not intrinsically bad. And that's the whole point, because the whole point of shalom is to harmonize the different parts, not to suppress them, not to cut them out, But to find a place, to find their right place, there's a right place and right time for everything. For everything, there's a right place and there's a right time. Shalom is the skill of being able to find the right place, the right time, the right way to harmonize all the different parts with us, inside of us. And that's why there's no kli better, there's no vessel, because it's a, what is a vessel? A vessel is a container, right? So you want to be able to, you want to enjoy the brachas in our lives, we need to have a container. And the container is the skill of shalom. It's the skill of being able to see the different parts. And, you know, today is not the time for doing this, but this is a lifelong journey. And essentially, right, just from a practical, pragmatic, logical perspective, the beginning of the way to do it is not beating ourselves up for negative feelings or thoughts, right? But to listen to those thoughts. I mean, this is, you know, in the field of therapy, that's what you're doing. You're trying to give a voice to those voices, to give us give an expression to those voices. What does that voice want of you? What is that voice of anxiety? What is that voice of anger? What is that voice of cruelty? Whatever the negative voice is, what is the meaning of that voice? What is it really saying to you? And you are now the conductor of your own orchestra. You are now the master of shalom. You're the master of the shalom to be able to harmonize these different voices within yourself, to be able to find its right place, its right expression, and to bring all of these different things together. That's the koach of shalom, the godly shalom. So another famous Gemara, famous idea which relates to this, is in Brachos 56b, and a whole book was made out of this. It's called The River, the Cattle, and the Bird. It was a book about marriage. It was a book about by Baron Feldman, the Rosh Yeshiva of Ne'er Yisrael. But the Gemara says that if a person has a dream of a river, of a kettle, of a pot, and a bird, then he can look forward to shalom, can look forward to peace, right? What's the significance of those three things? So a river, right, has an element of peace fostering nature to it. Because on a river, you can have two boats, you know, sailing side by side on the river, even though the boats are going in different directions. So the power of a river, the river is able to hold two opposites, right? Going different directions, different speeds, a river, as long as they don't crash into each other, the river can hold the two opposites going in different directions, different speeds. That's a river, right? But they're still distant from each other. The two boats are still far apart away from each other. A next level up from that is a kettle, is a pot. A pot contains water, and you put on the fire, and now the fire boils the water. I mean, that's a dangerous proximity between fire and water. The fire is going to put out the water. The water is going to put out the fire. But no, a pot has the capacity to be able to hold those two elements together, keeping them at bay from each other, allowing them not to interact directly, but to help each other. That's a pot. That's the power of a pot. But a bird is the greatest harmonizer of two opposites. How is a bird the greatest? This is from by Aaron Feldman, how he explains this. He says that the way that the bird harmonizes the two parts, because you think about this, like a bird flies, right? You look at a bird, what does a bird do? Flies. So what's it got legs for? Right? If it, you know, why does a bird have legs? It flies. What are you doing with legs? Right? And then if the bird has legs, it's a land creature. So what are you doing with those things with those wings? They're diametrically opposed to each other. The wings don't help them doesn't help the bird to walk on the ground, and the legs don't help the bird to fly in the sky, right? But in one body, right? Two opposites exist in one body, right? It's the perfect harmony of two opposites, mamish inside the same entity itself. Not fire and, not the fire under the pot and the water inside the pot, but in this one object, you have two opposites completely. And that's the power of shalom, to be able to harmonize two things together. Mm. So this is how the Medrash goes on to talk about shalom, right? Is that what Pinchas was given? It's not so clear if Pinchas was given this dimension of shalom, but it certainly says that this is the, you know, we said before, the different definitions of the Brish Shalom which he was given, but the Medrash uses an opportunity to expand upon the power of shalom and the absolutely essential nature of it. It's the glue which holds the whole universe together, to be able to bring all these different parts together and to harmonize them into a comprehensive whole. So maybe zocha to be shalom. Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. It should all be zocha to have shalom within ourselves, right? To be able to have, to be able to respect ourselves and to be able to hold these different parts in a non confrontational way, in a non-threatening fashion, to be able to work with our different parts of ourselves, and certainly apply that to our relationship with other people as well, right? To be able to find, you know, the harmony of someone who bothers you, right? Someone who bothers, because we're human. Someone who bothers you, now to harmonize it, take that trait, to take that nature, and to now find a way to bring him or her to you in a way where you can hold that person together with you in a shalom dicker way. Maybe zocha to shalom. And with that, obviously, time of the 3 weeks we are in right now, we should be zocha to a shalom in the whole world with the coming of the Mashiach and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash very quickly.